Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we shine a spotlight on topics important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Lagodie. Well, I'm really excited today. I've got a guest on that's going to be able to talk about some important things, I hope. And I'm joined this morning by Troy Stahl. Troy, how are you?
Just fine, Grant. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We appreciate you making the time. And what we're going to talk about today for our listenership is mainly financial topics and how to get your financial house in order for 2018. And Troy, maybe we start out by you giving us a little bit of your background.
Well, I've been in the financial advice industry for a little over 20 years now. Way back in the day, got licensed as a CPA and then decided I liked investments. So I went further and got licensed as a certified financial planner and ultimately got the licenses necessary to do investment management and financial planning in the retail world probably about 20 years ago. So
you have a broad background. I mean, you've got your CPA, you've got your CFP. And so CPAs, those are people that do taxes, right?
Right, right.
And CFP, normally that's someone that does financial advising.
Exactly.
Okay. And just full disclosure here, I've known Troy a long time. We were talking earlier about how he used to babysit me. So no, you don't be telling any stories. I'm going to cut you off if you try.
No problem.
So for a lot of people, the beginning of the year or the end of the year, I guess, is a time where they look back and say, you know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? And what are some adjustments that I might make? So that's kind of what I want to talk about. Folks that are looking to perhaps make some adjustments, deal with debt, save more money. Maybe deal with bills that they haven't dealt with. What are some approaches that you've seen be successful? And maybe give us a couple of tips on dealing with these types of things.
Well, I don't want to go all Dave Ramsey on everybody.
Please do.
But you know, I don't agree with everything the man says, but he's got a lot of great information. You know, it's to him, debt is the devil. And that starts with credit cards. And you know, it's just too easy to spend money when it's plastic and it's not coming straight out of your bank account.
You don't see it. You're not giving somebody that cash.
Exactly. I understand. That's probably the biggest thing we see is that people, you know, they see their neighbors have nice things and they want nice things. They don't want to fall behind. And so there's a tendency sometimes to outspend your income, and that's when plastic comes in and becomes a snowball that ends up being a problem oftentimes.
Sure. And I like to Dave Ramsey, some of the things he said. Again, I agree with you that he's not the end-all be-all, but he says some interesting stuff that I think is practical. He gives a financial peace university. I don't know if have you been to that?
I've taught it a couple times.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, I know that there's a couple local churches that are putting it on. Mm-hmm. So if anybody sees that, maybe that's something they want to participate in.
Great course. Highly recommend.
Sure. So dealing with debt, I mean, what about automating some of these things that can get, you know, you forget about it. It starts to build up and it becomes something that's almost like a headache every time you think about it, right?
I think for most people, the set it and forget it approach is a good approach, you know, to take care of monthly bills, et cetera, because nobody likes paying late fees and things of that nature. So, and just about everyone out there will allow you to set up some sort of electronic draft where you can just pay your bill automatically. And I do that a lot. I think that makes, you know, sense with any debt payments or things of that nature.
Something
that
that's recurring, that's exactly the same, especially, mm-hmm. I mean, why leave it up to chance?
Absolutely. And it's easy to shuffle papers on a desk and miss a bill and it falls aside or gets shuffled elsewhere or even put in the trash sometimes. Next thing you know, you're paying late fees and eventually that haunts your credit report.
Absolutely. And certainly you can do that with bill pay, but I'd say it'll work with saving as well, right? I mean, automating that retirement account or automating that savings account.
It's music to my ears. I mean, it's the people I've seen in my 20 plus years that have done the best investing are the ones that invest regularly on a monthly basis without ever seeing it, either through a work 401k or through, you know, maybe they set up a private account with a financial advisor where it's just drafted out of their bank account monthly, kind of like a bill, except they're paying themselves first.
Smart. I love it. Again, that's music to my ears because it's, you know, I'm an attorney by practice and I deal with a lot of different situations, people that have made a lot of good decisions, people that have made bad decisions, and, you know, you've got to help yourself a little bit. If you can take some of that chance out of it, and try to make good decisions and build that process, sure, should be okay over the long term.
Sure. The other interesting thing about investing on a regular monthly basis is those people tend to have better return outcomes. You know, if you put the same $100, $200, whatever it is, every month, and the market happens to be down, well, you buy more shares. You actually buy more quantity when the market's down. Then when the market's high, you buy fewer shares. So the end result of that is you buy more when it's cheap and less when it's high.
That makes sense.
And people do better than typically on average.
That dollar cost averaging, is that what they call it?
Absolutely.
I love that.
And like I said, most people have it available through their work, and we highly recommend it because usually the employer is matching some funds at the same time, and that's just free money.
Absolutely. And so that was something I was going to ask you about. If you have the option, if you've got a retirement, you know, anything with your work, you should do the max. Is that correct?
It's an automatic. I mean, what I tell people is, at a minimum, you know, find out what your employer is matching and make sure that you put in enough to get all that match. If you can't quite afford it, okay, start a little below that, and as you get a raise, automatically boost it up to,
sure,
the point where, you know, if the employer is matching 50 cents on the dollar up to 6%, you really want to be putting in 6% of your paycheck.
And that's great advice, and that's something that you can automate, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, think about what that max would be in a year, mm-hmm, divide it by 12 or 26 or 52, mm-hmm, and say, this is what I need to put in to get to that max. And I mean, it just makes sense. This is really good stuff, Troy. I'm glad that you came on. I'm on with Troy Stahl here. We're talking about getting your financial house in order for 2018. We talked a little bit about automating our debt payments and even automating those payments to ourselves. And obviously you've got a lot of good, I think, tips and things. Tell me, I mean, folks are always asking, like, these get-rich-quick type things. I mean, do those exist?
usually not for long, I'll put it that way.
I mean, sure.
Usually when you see something that works really, really, really well, and it works to the point where the returns are way beyond what you would expect for normal investments, those usually aren't long-term things that last for a while. I mean, I've seen it before with a variety of things where people come in and tell me, they're, you know, hey, I can get X here, and it's a number that just sounds unreal,
right,
when you compare it to everything else. And, you know, that's usually my first flag, because the answer is simply, you know, risk and reward go hand in hand. You're willing to take greater risk, you get greater rewards. You're willing,
right,
to take less risk, then the returns you should expect should be lower.
Right. No, that makes sense. There's been a number of things in the community that have just been essentially too good to be true, and we found out that they are too good to be true over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people, you know, you hear about get rich quick, but you hear especially the financial gurus just say, hey, if you want to get rich, do it slowly.
Yeah, Dave Ramsey said a long time ago, it's a crock pot, not a microwave. You're not going to get wealthy quick by doing it the right way and the way that's tried and true. You know, it's one of those things that takes a long time, and there are just a lot of phenomenons. I mean, the phenomenon you hear a lot about now is Bitcoin. We hear,
sure,
a ton about
that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's in the news right now, and mm-hmm, cryptocurrencies and mm-hmm, the blockchain technology. It's gone through the roof, the pricing. I've periodically, yeah, got people asking me, well, what do you think about this, and should I, yeah, do that? You know, I'm like, hey, I don't know that much about it. Just recently, I was watching a documentary on Netflix that was fascinating about, mm-hmm, banking on Bitcoin, it was called. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. But tell us a little bit about that, Troy.
Yeah, well, it's I've got a ton of questions, too. And a couple people that have spoke up that I paid attention to on the subject were Warren Buffett and Alan Greenspan.
Sure.
And both of them, yeah, I mean, they've got some experience here, chairman, right, of the Federal Reserve and the founder of Berkshire Hathaway. You know, these are guys that have done it for a while and understand it. And in both cases, they tended to take a dim view. I think Warren Buffett called it pure FOMO, or fear of missing out.
Uh-huh.
It was his thing. And I've heard the greater fool theory bannered about, which essentially...
What's that?
Okay, it basically means that you purchase something with the belief that somebody else is going to think it's worth more later. You know, as long as you have those people, things tend to go up.
Like I was saying, my brother's baseball cards, I think I paid for those when I was 10, and because I thought someday, oh, they'll be worth millions. Now I don't even know where they're at, and I think I overpaid. So
yeah, it's possible, but at least you have something tangible there. I mean, the concern's personally I've had with Bitcoin is that you can't hold it. You really can't see it except on a computer screen, and there's really nothing backing it up. I mean, yes, you can actually buy things with it. You can exchange it for dollars right now, but there's not a set exchange rate. You can't look at one Bitcoin and say it's worth so many ounces of gold or something like that, and there's no government or taxing authority backing it up. You know, as we've said, some people like that idea, the fact the government's not involved, but also there's no financial backing at that point. There's no taxing authority to back up the value of something like backs up the dollar.
Yeah, at least as it started, it was a way to pay for things in black markets, drugs, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Sort of other types of things. And now it's gone quite a bit more mainstream. I mean, we had a all-time high in mm-hmm. December of last mm-hmm. year, and I'd say it's up like, I don't know, 1,000% over the last however many months.
It's a bunch. I mean, of course, in two or three trading sessions, I think it dropped about 35%.
Yes,
so that's the danger of it. I mean, it is mainstream somewhat because Wall Street's put out, you know, is trading futures now in it. You know, I'll be the first to admit I still don't understand it. You know, I've told people, well, sure, you have the potential of making money on it, but you have just as easily the potential of losing money
sure.
if it goes the other way, because it's pretty unpredictable at these levels,
right.
and it's just not something I would tell you that, you know, the kind of returns people have experienced recently are not sustainable returns.
Right. Well, the other thing you talked about, Warren Buffett. The other thing Buffett says is don't invest in things that you don't understand.
Right.
And, you know, I know very few people that understand blockchain technology and Bitcoin. Sure. I mean, even after watching the documentary, I was like, maybe I should watch that again, just to understand what just happened.
Yeah, and I'll admit, too, the technology itself, I mean, it involves encryption and algorithms and all sorts of things that are above my pay grade. And, you know, obviously the tech guys understand it, et cetera. You know, but again, my question always comes back to, what's backing it? What makes it valuable?
Right. Those are really good comments. And say I've got $50 a month that mm-hmm. I can put away. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that enough, Troy, to start something? I mean, is it enough to invest?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, and should I do it in Bitcoin?
Well, I'll put it this way.
You know, baseball cards. No.
Our broker-dealer made it clear early on we wouldn't be trading it at this point because there's just too much uncertainty.
Right.
I mean, there's just nothing. But yeah, absolutely. People start, especially young folks, start with $50 a month.
Yeah.
And there are easily ways to automate that to where it comes out of your bank account on a monthly basis. And, you know, the ball rolls slow. I always tell people it's like a ball at the top of the hill. It's going to roll slow initially. You know, you make 10% on $1,000, you're going to make $100. You make 10% on $100,000, you make 10 grand. You know, the ball rolls a lot faster as
yep.
it goes further down the hill.
Yeah.
And you see that initially. I mean, the focus is to, whatever you do, do it regularly, do it every month. Just automate it. That's the best advice we had early on is to get an automated problem mm-hmm. or program that happens every month, whether you think about it or not. It comes out of your paycheck or your bank account, and that's the way to win in the long term.
Yeah. No, that's right. And like you said earlier, when you get a raise, you know, keep living within that same initial means and mm-hmm. keep putting away that margin. I think that's good advice.
Sure.
So a financial advisor. Why does someone need a financial advisor and what does that person do?
Well, the obvious answer that people come to first is, well, someone to choose your investments and make changes, recommend changes on a from time to time. But what I've seen just as often is the need for education. I mean, we do a ton of education
sure.
when we sit down with new clients and really teach them the products, et cetera. I figure meetings will go a long time the first time we sit down with someone because there are a ton of questions.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they'll follow up with more questions at the next meeting. So education is a big part of it because you don't want to invest in stuff you don't understand. But the other part is almost like playing a part-time psychologist and
sure.
preventing people from making mistakes.
I'll tell you what, that's really where the financial advisor earns their money when the market's bad in 2008
yes.
or something and everybody wants to get out,
yeah.
they're saying, hey, be calm. Even if the financial advisor is losing his hair and losing his mind, I mean, it's...
Yeah, I've told people I'm paid to worry for you.
Yeah.
You know, you put your trust in me, your financial advisor, and I'll do the worrying. And then you know, when things are tough, I'll talk you out of making bad decisions, like
sure.
pulling it all out at the bottom.
And that's where the financial advisor, I think, makes their money. It's not so much picking this or picking that,
right.
perhaps.
Lots of great choices out
sure,
there.
Sure, sure. And I think, and I'll throw this out to you. I've read someone, John Bogle, who founded mm-hmm. Vanguard.
Right.
And Bogle says, the things you can control are time mm-hmm. and what you pay mm-hmm. For that advice. So, you know, time and compounding interests are two amazing factors, and just being in it the long haul yeah. and you know, making tweaks, but really it's just time and having someone talk you out of bad choices, and yeah. That's the key, I think.
As much as anything, and it's always amazing to me when they show index returns, and then they show what the actual investors made next to those indexes, and it's usually substantially less.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about decisions. Mm-hmm. It's not really about what they're picking. It's about making bad decisions, you know, either throwing all the money at it when markets are high or pulling it all out when markets are low.
Mm-hmm. So when someone goes and sees a financial advisor, if that's something that they choose to do, now, you're probably not doing their taxes, right?
Right, usually not.
You're mainly focused on their retirement, is that right?
Yeah, retirement, you know, or shorter-term investments where they're saving for a goal, maybe saving for a kid's college or saving for a down payment on a home or something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, retirement is the most often one. That's the most common one because, you know, people don't want to work till they drop. Can't say I blame them.
Yeah. And you've got this sort of this background also where you've taught Dave Ramsey, you've got this mm-hmm. consumer type of understanding and approach. And so you can also help get people maybe pointed in the right direction and making better decisions,
sure.
Even unrelated to retirement. Is that right?
Absolutely. We do that a lot. When we sit down with clients, you know, we talk about income and expenses and you know, the idea of actually setting aside a budget. You know, if you struggle with a category like I personally did and struggled with eating out, you know, you look at the end of the month, you're like, man, we spent a bunch of money doing mm-hmm. that. And I finally got to where I'd pull out a set amount of cash at the beginning of the month, and that's all we had to eat out. Yeah. We were done eating out.
Smart.
And that
sometimes you make it 3 days to the month. Sometimes yeah. it's longer.
Well, the first month we ate at home a lot toward the end of the month, but we got to where we managed it, and I never really felt like I was deprived or anything like that. Sure. But it's all about discipline.
Sure. No, that's wonderful. This is good advice. So a financial advisor, when they get paid, I mean, how do we get paid? Do I say, hey Troy, here's $10. Tell me what to do, or is it a percent of my gain, or how does that work?
Typically, it's a percentage of what's invested. That's the most common way of being paid. Sometimes people come in and they want a full blown financial plan. Well, it's done on an hourly basis.
Sure.
But when you're buying investments, generally it's done on a percentage. You know, and yeah. obviously the bigger the investments get, the greater the percentage.
Yeah. And that's changed a lot mm-hmm. of late here with some of the Department mm-hmm. of Justice rulings. The
yep.
Or the DOL,
DOJ, yeah, Department of Labor.
Department of Labor rulings. Yep. And yep. So I know the industry's been modified somewhat. Mm-hmm. So tell me, market's the all-time high. I mean, the Dow's at 25,000, which is the Dow Industrials, the biggest companies, and they take mm-hmm. an average. But it's a good proxy, or it's a good
sure.
way to track how things are going, and they're going remarkably well.
Yes, they
Should
are.
Should I really be investing today in equities in the market?
Well, it's the approach we talked about earlier is a tried and true one that always works.
Uh-huh.
Temporarily, if you start investing today and you go throughout this next year and we get a pullback, which is probably overdue, to be honest. You know, if we get a pullback of 10%, you look at it and like, gosh, my $5,000 is now $4,500.
Yeah,
that's tough to see. But it really depends. If you've got a long time horizon, you're out at least 5 years or more. You know, odds are if you consistently keep investing, and particularly when it is beat down, that's a great time to buy stocks
oh,
when they're on sale. People don't want to. Stocks are the only thing people don't want to buy on sale.
I know, right?
But that's the greatest time to do it.
That's
so, you know, the way we look at it is if you have a consistent approach and you got a long-term time horizon, yeah, I wouldn't say throw your entire bank balance at it today.
Right.
I don't think that's prudent anytime.
Right.
But particularly now when the markets are tall. But if we look out 5, 10, 15 years, I mean, there's reason for optimism long-term. You know, even if we think it's a little overdone or a little expensive today.
Absolutely. And so I'm going to ask you a couple more things because I know that you're interested in all things financial. If I'm choosing to invest, and a lot of these things aren't either or, but I'm going to mm-hmm. pose it to you either or. If I invest in the market mm-hmm. or if I want to invest in something tangible, real estate or antiques or paintings.
Or gold.
Or gold. Yeah. What do you think about that?
you know, the first thing a good financial advisor talks about to begin with is diversity. So,
sure.
So nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's I think too much of anything is a dangerous thing. So, you know, certainly being diversified, lots of great asset classes out there. There's a cause for real estate. There's a cause for gold and all
sure.
that stuff. Just
sure.
Not everything in one pot's my best advice.
Sure. Well, this is really good stuff, Troy. Diversification obviously is tried and true method, and you know, automating kind of what you're doing. A lot of good stuff here. I'm going to give you the last word just to tell the folks a couple of tips to get their financial house in order for 2018.
Well, the biggest one I keep coming back to is pay yourself first. You know, everyone's used to paying bills and paying everyone else, paying the mortgage, paying for the groceries, and paying the light bill and things of that nature. But start out the month paying yourself. You know, set up some sort of regular side account. You know, you should certainly have a reserve fund in the bank, you know, for emergency purposes. But beyond that, start investing, whether it's through work, whether it's just on your own with a financial advisor. Pay yourself first. Put the money away.
Even if it's a little bit,
yep,
right?
Even $50 a month.
Yep. Get
something
habit.
Started.
That's right.
Pay yourself first, because that's the payment that comes back and pays you back later. The others don't.
I love it. Good stuff. Thank you, Troy, for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Grant.
Fort Knox Investment Management is affiliated with Woodbury Financial Services, and securities are offered through Woodbury Financial Services, MNRA, member FINRA, SIPC. The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Woodbury Financial Services and WAMW and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities or services mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary, therefore the information should only be relied upon when coordinated with an individual professional advice. Focus on the Community has been brought to you by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's program and past shows when you visit our website, WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW as we focus on the Community.